I got a question for Carolyn.
Okay.
Have you had discussion with Ion about this River Jordan business?
No, I have not.
When he was talking about the River Jordan, he mentioned magnesium.
Bob, do you recall River Jordan and magnesium?
I don't pursue Saturday night topics that the hoi polloi engages in when I have my time with Ion. I deal with real stuff.
Some bodies of water are high in magnesium. Maybe that's all he meant, but it definitely is something that I'm going to put on my Ion question list.
And the one speaking, you say you diagram sentences. You're a grammarian, are you?
Yes.
Susan,
yes, from all the way, you know, back in seventh grade, I think I started. We started maybe even earlier. All my education, that was one of the parts of the English that we studied, and we were really
and punctuation. I take it punctuation is key in the diagramming of sentences.
No, punctuation is not necessarily no. Punctuation can come out of that. Punctuation really is a way to help the reader to understand where to pause, or if you've got a complete thought and then you're going to join it to another thought, you would use a semicolon, you know, or if it's that kind of thing, or a comma, which just means a pause.
Well, I only bring it up because Ion's always rattling off Bible quotes, but of course, when you read any part in the Bible, they got all of this punctuation there with colons and semicolons and, you know,
right.
And it's usually not the way we follow it. It's usually pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell are they actually saying here? What am I, you know, you can read something and it's like, well, depending on what the punctuation means, it could be, you know, something different.
It's indecipherable and looks like done by illiterate people when you do it normal interpretation. But Ion can make it seem proper. And only Ion can make the punctuation seem proper, it seems to me. Because he gives you the actual meanings, and then you find out why it's punctuated. But any other interpretation, it's worse than Finnegan's Wake.
But you've been working on for how many years?
40 or more years, yep, Finnegan's Wake.
There we go.
As a matter of fact, here's an interesting thought. It just occurred to me. So maybe I start looking into Finnegan's Wake seriously around 69. 40 years later, 2009, Ion came through. So that was my 40-year journey.
40 days and 40 nights, maybe.
Yeah, 40 years in the wilderness of Finnegan's Wake.
Right.
And then I started engaging Ion, and after a year or two, especially after the Bible course, I realized that if you were going to write a book describing what Ion's always saying, doing, expressing about the timeless and the false premise of time and these other things, it would look like a page of Finnegan's Wake. It's such a perfect expression of how you would accurately present Ion. Because Joyce will write sentences that will have the past of the sentence presented in the future of the sentence be back in the past. Exactly what Ion says, time happens in time. So do that. And it cannot be read in any linear, normal sense. And maybe Ion cannot be understood in any linear, normal sense. It's like episodes with Ion. That's the way it is with Finney's Wake. They're like situations and episodes and ratios of factors.
Well, maybe
that
it
are
all
repeated.
Seems. Okay.
Maybe it all seems what?
I don't know. My brain was going in a particular direction, and you kept talking, so I lost it, whatever it was. Obviously, it went into
another
dimension.
Well, the echo. And when Roxy talks
That's
about
it.
The echo, there's lots of echoing. Basically, each chapter is the same story done completely differently based on maybe the medium of that era. It's the same story all the way through, repeated. And the first time scholars would just notice, oh, this is the same story repeated. How boring. But they didn't know that the story would be a certain format in each repeat based on the surrounding circumstances or media. That's what McLuhan figured out.
Now, are you talking about Finnegan's Wake? Is that what you're
Finnegan's
right
Wake, that's what
Finnegan,
I'm talking about, yeah.
Finnegan's Wake? Yeah. Okay, but that sounds like time. That sounds like what I was perceiving in the last several weeks when we were talking about not having been born.
If you wrote a biography stating and showing how you were never born, it would be written like Finnegan's Wake because the book goes circular.
Okay. So I jump back and forth between.
No,
and
you'd always be in the middle. You're always in the middle of the book, no matter what page you're on. You're always in the middle.
Okay, but I'm in the middle of Egypt, and then I'm in the middle of Japan, and I'm in the middle of the Caribbean, and I'm in the middle of the Mediterranean, and I'm in the middle of New York.
And all that together, watching a movie or reading a newspaper, you're in the middle of that.
The
then you make
time,
the center.
I'm talking to you.
And the perceptual point is to say, I'm in the middle, but I'm the center of the middle, not the middle of something that's over there on the margin is the center. You know, you make yourself the center in the middle position.
But everybody's the center.
Yeah. And that's what Pascal said. Center's everywhere, boundaries nowhere. Center's everywhere, circumference and margins nowhere. That's acoustic space.
Okay.
Now, Bob, does that fall into the concentric spiral effect?
The spiral is the beginning of making linearity, but it's the first stage of visual space. You go in circles and cycles, and that's why Ion says there's no more cycles, no more of the precession, 26,000 years. That's not going to happen anymore. We're not even going that slightly linear. See, that's early linear where you know there's no straight lines, but you're going a straight line, so you end up just going around in a circle.
Yeah.
That's the first part of visual time illusion. And we're not going to have that. We're not going in circles anymore.
So we remain in the center, correct?
The center of the big now, and you don't even have to concentrate on it being now.
For there's no time.
Correct me, Ian. Erase me.
Correct him quick.
You're talking about acoustic space and the variance between the two spaces. You're lost right now, so you got to come back to us. We can help you. So, again.
Okay. So the center.
Oh,
is...
and then we're going to have you diagram the preamble to the Constitution.
Well, that I think I might be able to do. Okay. The diagramming is probably easier than being in the center.
Well, but don't center. No, it's no different. If you know the subject and the predicate, you have the center. The line that divides the subject and the predicate is the center. And if you go at it that way, you're easy. Now, how many adjectives and how many adverbial clauses and how many prepositional phrases can fit in that? It's infinite.
Yeah, because that's what question. Bucky Fuller said, I seem to be a verb. So you're in the middle between the object and predicate. You're the verb. You're the action. And around is the adverb.
You're between the subject and the predicate. You're between the verb and the noun. You're
and
between.
Noun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
In between.
You're in between.
What's it mean when Jesus went down to the River Jordan and Jesus was baptized not by John, Jesus was baptized of John? What's that mean?
If he was baptized by, John would be the Baptist. He was not the Baptist. He was of John, which means he was in his line or... It was of his house, of his position. By means what a rabbit can do to a stump. Of a rabbit can't be of a stump.
So Jesus was baptized of John's house or John's line.
Lineage, yes.
Was water involved or does this have to do with genealogy?
Water was involved, yes.
Water was involved.
Water was, yeah.
So the point of them saying that Jesus was baptized of John, it was someone from John's line?
And it was of John because it was the one who was the procurer of the baptizing. RNA drops are baptized of Bob, not by Bob.
That doesn't help.
Okay. Doesn't mean it has like a sensibility?
No. No way. Don't make it hard. Look up of. From means from.
I looked up from one time. Or no, it wasn't.
No, look up of. Look up of. From. Or comes to. Or from hither. And so that's why it means that.
You were talking about the River Jordan the other day, and you brought up magnesium. It's like you were going to make a statement or...
The specific gravity of the River Jordan has a lower ratio of gravity, which is a natural drawer of holder of magnesium in a, what Carolyn would call a pure form, not ionic, but almost at a pico. Well, we like angstrom, but that's a dirty word in the people's worlds. But that's found in the River Jordan now because of its lower specific gravity, because it's a divider line on the 33rd parallel through the Canaan land, which is just in sight. Canaan land is just in sight. There's a song. Canaan land is just in sight. It's just across the River Jordan. But y'all have to be careful because there's giants in the land.
Giants meaning gods. There are gods in the land.
Dude, they're giants in Canaan land.
Now, let's go back to your statement again, the River Jordan, and then you brought in the 33rd parallel. So the water that flows in the River Jordan has a lower specific gravity than other waters. And therefore, you get a higher or a more pure or the right size of magnesium in that
water? There is natural magnesium in that water. That's very good.
So we're getting that with the Remag, though. But then there's, let's see, Bob spilled it. There's Bob's 40 and split the other week that you're going to change the Remag?
Would you like to?
Well, if it's better and it serves me better, hell yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, because a lot of folks think it's taste of possum urine.
To me, it burns, it's like taking a shot of fucking alcohol or moonshine or whiskey, because, I mean, man, a full teaspoon of Remag and a full teaspoon of Relight, and you down it straight with nothing, it's like, that's rough.
No, it's good for you. Hold it in your mouth. Put one teaspoon in your mouth and hold it in your mouth till you get the other one done. Then down that one, then do the second one. That would get you right.
I do them at the same time because I did that. When I separate them, it's like you got one going down your throat hole, and then you put another one in. It's like, you know, the gag reflex kicks in. I want to just blow chunks off. I'll do them both at the same time and then slam it with water.
Make you pee like a racehorse.
What do you mean by that?
It will increase the urine stream prolifically.
So it won't make you want to pee. It'll just increase your flow of urine.
You'll pee better. But you do that good anyway. He went to sleep. Y'all Brian to sleep. So that's why we're having fun now. It's great fun. So what we're saying pee like a big boy now.
So it's affecting what's that fucking gland down there that everybody has, the prostate.
Yeah. Bob says let angels prostate fall instead of prostrate.
But anyway, the point is so you would say when you pee like a racehorse, it's like, okay, it's fixing, if it's required, it's prostate.
Okay. Have you ever seen a racehorse pee?
Not necessarily a racehorse. I've seen a horse piss before.
Okay, they go at it, don't they? I mean, they pee, correct?
Well, I mean, it's a large animal, so therefore, yes, the volume of liquid that comes out is, yeah, it's just prolific.
So are you.
Okay.
And do you pee like a racehorse?
Sometimes I do. See, here's my thing. I'm going through this shit. Let's talk about this, Ian, okay? About hydration.
We know
for some reason, I don't want to drink.
I know, because your body's changing. You don't want to drink, and you're not, and yet you're hydrated.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing how little I can consume. I'm talking over 2 or 3 days.
We know.
What you should drink, you know, if you get Carolyn here, I don't know what she would say. What is it? What's a cliche?
She's on here. She's on here.
8 ounce glasses a day or something like that. Or whatever, per day. I mean, sometimes it takes me, literally 2 or 3 days to drink that much fluid. I don't even drink soda pop like I used to.
Right.
And you're right, I don't have what you would say, quote, in the past, dehydration effects. However, if it goes on for very long, I'll get some fucking major headaches. And I'm like, okay, now I went too far. But it doesn't bother me because it's like what you said, I know my body's going through a shift, and it's just a little contrast, I guess, I'm going to go through.
It doesn't have to be all that. You know, drink gin and juice. That'll solve it. There's a lot of hydration there. Or scotch and water. That'll fix it.
I'm not big on drinking the alcohol.
We understand. So then just drink the juice or just drink the water.
How about a big, fat, ice-cold Coke? That's my favorite drink. It's a big old Coca-Cola fountain.
Okay. You know, get the big gulp. Get the Slurpee, 77 ounces or something. Yeah, that's fine.
I can tear them up.
That's fine.
But I don't even drink them like I used to.
Right. You still got your girlish figure. You all right? Is the thing wet?
Yeah.
All right with that?
You making fun of my boobs, Ryan?
We like it.
Oh, okay. So did you have something you was going to throw in, Roxanne?
Well, not for hydration issues.
Oh, okay.
When you are consuming Realign, do you find that eases or settles your belly?
I don't notice it with you talking my stomach, right?
Yeah,
stomach.
Well,
it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother my stomach.
Connected. It's all connected. It should do it.
When I first started the Realign, I would say it fucked me up pretty good because, I mean, my bowels
were
just...
Fucked up. It was helping.
What happened to your bowels, Brian?
Just gave me the fucking runs, man. I mean, it was crazy. It took me a while, but now it doesn't bother me. Now I can take it
I got a topic you'll be interested in. We are all made aware, those who grace Bob's Facebook page, that James Martinez, thanks to Randy Knight, told us that James Martinez was being interviewed by Randy Moggins last night, Friday night. So Carol and I listened to it because we have not heard James talk in years, and he ignores our communications to him. And he went on there, and as we listened to the show, we realized there is a pattern. If you leave Ion in a huff, and I don't know if James left in a huff, but he's left our scene. He doesn't even mention us in his own stupid biography. You know what you do? You do the Matthew Hurtado syndrome. You start claiming you've got a product better than anything in the world. That's what James did. He went on there, and he had Randy Moggins cooperating because Randy claimed he'd taken the stuff, and it's called C60, the letter C60.
Carbon 60.
Do you know anything about it?
Yes, okay. I've heard. It comes
from Don't say anything yet. Let me just tell you the story, give you the framework. So he gets on there bragging about C60, and it's based on a molecule named after Bucky Fuller, and it's called the Bucky Fullerene molecule, I guess.
Yeah, the Buckyball.
The Buckyball, right. So I knew Bucky Fuller and interacted with him, but that's a side thing. So James gets on there and Randy, and they start talking about the effects of the C60 as if you're talking about RNA drops. It makes you think clearer, gives you lucidity. Now, these two did not sound very clear. James, as usual, couldn't finish a sentence. He couldn't even finish half a thought. He relied on giggling eventually. Eventually, you'll see that James gives up trying to say a sentence, and he'll just start laughing at whatever Randy says. So Randy ended up doing most of the talking about it, and James just agreeing. But it affects the clarity. It makes your skin better, gives you stamina, and then miraculous cures of strange things. So it basically
longevity, too.
What did you say, Brian?
I said the thing was it's supposed to give you longevity because they were giving it to these mice and rats, and they were living 3 times longer than all the other fucking mice and rats.
Oh, yeah, that's what we need, mice that live longer. That's exactly the breakthrough we're looking for.
Yeah, we're making at least somebody survive the end times. So, yes, that's a major thing that we make. Our iCell will prevent you from aging. So they're making that claim. And they went on, and it was very painful listening to it. But we do have a pattern. If you leave Ion in a huff, Iondom, you end up claiming, like Matthew, that you have a whole bunch of better products that have helped you way beyond what the drops or Remeg did. So I wanted to ask Ion, what is the Bucker Fullerene, and how is it doing, and what is it doing to people, and how fucked up is James and Randy thinking they're getting better? But that's aside. Don't make that the major thing.
It makes you join the Rice Quantum Institute.
Is that something Murray Gell-Mann founded, or who did the Rice Quantum? Is that Rice University?
Well, is that the J.R. He and
Hey, Carolyn,
SCL.
Ian's right. They were talking about quantum healing. James and Randy were mentioning quantum healing and how Walter Bowerd made great breakthroughs, which is total bullshit about Walter making breakthroughs and perceiving the future. Blah, blah, blah. What he said about Walter, if you listen to the interview, is totally wrong.
Carbon 60, the carbon molecule, was developed at Rice University. It was something that the Evergreens talk quite a bit about. And it is called the fullerene because of the shape of the molecule. And there's a lot of information in the wiki
okay,
pages
that's a good
about
point,
it.
Ginny, what is significant about the shape of the molecule, Ion?
Well, it's round. It's round.
It's round.
And normal carbon is not. It's hexagonal.
No, James describes it as like several hexagonals and pentagons. And
they say it's like a soccer ball. It looks like a soccer ball. You know, the
right.
soccer ball.
Yep.
Yep.
And a normal carbon is not round. It's all those hexagons.
Correct.
Right? And this
Correct.
Is not a normal carbon. It's made rounder.
Correct.
Does that improve the benefits for it on us?
No.
Did James and Randy get to think clearer and more lucidly since taking it?
Well, depending on where they came from, maybe.
Right, if they're really in the rabbit hole. So are the effects...
Who's making it? It says...
Shut up. The fullerene, are the effects of any length of time, the beneficial effects?
You can ask a different way.
If it improves your lucidity and clarity of thinking, does that continue over the next 6 months?
No.
I thought you were saying, does it extend your lifespan?
No, I'm just talking about the thinking first. They both said they think clearly, more lucidly. Ian, if that's given, does it last long, that effect?
No,
that?
But it doesn't even do that.
Okay.
I mean, you have idiots saying they're smarter. How would you know?
Yes, it did not sound that they were any smarter. So I can back off now, and Debbie or other people can ask questions.
Did you want to say something, Jenny?
I was just going to say that the Carbon 60 product has never been able to be stabilized. They said that they couldn't get any kind of... licensing or anything for it, and what they wanted to accomplish with it, they couldn't accomplish, and it was discovered back in the 80s, so I guess I just want to know, supposedly,
yeah.
Who's isolated this product and is distributing it for commercial purposes?
Yeah, they're putting it in an olive oil. I guess that's how they're stabilizing. You put it in olive oil, and then you take it, I guess, under your tongue or something.
If they would mix it with our hydrogen... The ions in order, it would increase the solubility. It would change water. But now, see, that's in our super sugar. But we're talking about different C.
Right. They're talking about carbon 60, and then when you talk about the super sugar, you're talking about carbon 122, right?
Correct.
What does the structure of the C-122 look like?
It's the one that will absolutely embrace the lipids and fats completely.
That's not good. You saying the carbon 60 will erase lipids and fats?
No. 122 will embrace them completely.
Oh, embrace them. Okay. The C60, because it's carbon, has a little bit going for it because it's carbon?
No.
Okay. You going to follow up, Ginny?
Yeah, I just didn't know where they got it from. So you're saying, Brian, it's just something that has been commercialized and now they're putting it in olive oil and you could take it orally and
yep.
They're experiencing effects from it.
Yeah, because I looked at, after, you know, you brought it up, I looked into it and I found there was some outfit that was selling it, putting it in olive oil, and they were selling it.
Yeah, but the problem,
I don't know what James is doing.
They're trying to do that to stimulate beta amyloid proteins, and it doesn't work.
Why would they want to stimulate that? Are we stimulating those? Are they important to stimulate?
We're changing them.
Yeah, we don't stimulate. We change. We change the ground.
We're gonna redo the neurotransmitter levels.
When you say redo, you mean redo?
Ours will cross the blood-brain barrier.
Break the blood-brain barrier. That sounds like coitus.
But you got to get your hydrogen right.
Is that one of the reasons we need to hydrate more? No.
No.
You do have to hydrate more with the living water.
We don't.
Do we?
Are you talking about amyloid precursor proteins, APP, ion?
No.
So this amyloid precursor protein and integral membrane protein expressed in many tissues.
A-M-Y-L-O-I-D.
Precursor
proteins. It's like Hebraloid, only it's Amy.
Ayan, at the beginning you were talking about this house of Jesus, and last time you said DNA is the connection. I was wondering, do we belong to the same house, the persons that are engaging you?
You belong to our house.
What is your house?
The sleeping one's house.
Finnegan is not awake.
You were talking last week about birth, and nobody was born, but you talk about this one begat that one, and this and begat. What does begat
mean? Hey, Brian,
mean?
I was going to ask that an hour ago. Ion, the begatting, is that basically chemistry, lineage, or does it include phases of non-physical creation?
Neither. It has to give you the line to get you the chain to get you back to God. As you fell, it began.
Yeah, but is that chemistry? A line of chemistry? Amino acids and all that?
We don't think so. We don't say it like that. We just say it's your trail. It's your trail of crumbs to get you.
Oh, that's the stages of apprehension on my tiny note chart.
Oh, well, through the Quaker quadrant, but yeah.
That's true.
But it has
Black,
to do with genealogy.
It's funny. It'd be funnier if it wasn't so sad.
Yeah, it'd be funny. It's not funny, Kate. Inappropriate reaction there.
There was an article about Tutankhamun having Armenian DNA, which is an anomaly. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And I suppose because there is no linear time, there is no origin of humanity. But then again... Okay. Because we were always?
You were always, but from the fall, that's where you fell. When you separated yourself from your power. You just look at Bob, and that's how you know a fallen man.
But is it important to know somehow this lineage?
Yeah, it is important. If you don't know where you come from, that's how you find out.
Right, the lineage is nowhere I am. Not about. Right.
We fell.
And you say we belong to your house.
You fell from where? You fell from what begat you.
Could you say it like this? We fell, when you say we fell, we fell from the 144,000 fully activated double helix strands. Now, when they're laying all this out, this one begat that one, this one begat that one. Now, as they begat, okay, let's say one begat another, and then they go to the one... To another, right? But then they talk about the one that was previous. My point is they talk about people in the Bible. Some of them die. But it seemed like the ones that beget this one, they didn't die. They say they slept.
Right.
And he slept. So is that saying that that section of genealogy or that section of DNA went dormant? He slept, so he went dormant?
Basically, they didn't die. That's right. They were not completely fallen. They were just a little fallen.
They went dormant, which is what you said. When we're running around on a single double helix strand, we have 144,000. It's just dormant.
Activating. Romans 14. Very good.
And Sarah is still there. And which factors help her to activate her chromosome 14 or the way in which she managed to not to transition?
Talking about Abraham, Sarah, Ion.
Ishmael.
What about Ishmael? That helped her go?
No, it helped her stay.
Ishmael was her son?
No.
Ishmael was a
concubine son.
And what did he do? What did she do with him?
Asks Roxy.
What'd you do with him, Roxy?
Coitus.
Yeah, Aya. Did she do coitus with Ishmael?
No.
When they go through the story, when they added the H to Sarah and they added the H to Abram and made it Abraham and Sarah, you said it was significant, but what's the significance of adding the H? When they add the H, there's something
hydrogen
there.
Hydrogen.
Was it hydrogen or was it? I can't remember.
It was hydrogen, and it changed them.
Is this the same hydrogen that you was talking about? If you add it to the, then they would actually start to get somewhere?
Well, they'd say, yeah, but...
Is the hydrogen that was added to Abram and Sarah, is that what you call the trihydrogen that you're talking about?
Not exactly as close. They didn't need it that strong. You need it stronger. You need stronger than they needed.
Why do I need stronger than they needed? I'm farther down the dormancy than they were. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your elbows.
I don't know nothing about my elbows. They work really good, nice and flexible, and the skin around the elbow is soft.
Yeah. That's new.
Well, I was telling Joyce, maybe Margarita here, this has been months ago, 6 months ago. When I first started the drops, I mean, wait, 3 years ago, how long it has been. The first thing that happened, obviously, was the fingernails and the skin soft. But I noticed about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, my skin went to a whole other level of softness. It's like it was unbelievable to me how soft. Because it was soft before just by being on the drops, but I did notice a whole another level of softness that my skin went to.
Did you increase your RNA drops?
No, not really. I take a lot of drops, though. I like taking the drops. And the Remag and the Relight. I wasn't big on the Remag and Relight at first because I went through some contrast when I first started taking it. But once I got over it and I started taking more and more, I was like, this stuff's pretty awesome.
Is Sarah also from your house or our house?
What are these houses you're speaking of, Roxana? Is something you guys were talking about earlier?
No, Ion mentioned the house of Jesus. That's what she's going from.
And he said we belong to his house. Ion's house. Oh, she's not?
Our house.
Our house. So is Sarah part of a particular house or just our house?
Our house is what you get right now.
Oh, here's Sarah Courtney. Maybe Sarah's got something to say.
Ion, is the opposite of happy unhappy?
Is the opposite of sad de-sad?
I'm understanding a divinely happy for themselves, and maybe it's easier to define unhappy. I don't know. So sad is the opposite of happy?
We didn't say that. We just asked you the question. What's your definition of happy?
My definition of happy is just being able to stay presently right in the moment, not get stuck in the past or the future.
Do you see where that's problematic?
Yes, I mean, you speak about that all the time, but...
So, by your definition, unhappy would be moving all the time.
Yeah.
Or perpetuatedly stuck forever. Right?
But if you are not putting any kind of preconceived notions on your experiences and, you know, participating in choosing your preferred experiences moment by moment, then that's happy to me.
Mm.
Nope.
No. Oh, it would be showing pleasure or contentment.
I feel that. Yeah, that's probably a better way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Ion, you said showing and not feeling, or it's the same thing?
We did say showing pleasure or contentment. We didn't say feeling.
So you can show it, but you don't have to necessarily feel it?
Normally you can't feel it. But you can tell us what it feels like. What does it feel like?
Like joy.
What does joy feel like?
Pleasure.
What does pleasure feel like?
I see where this is going.
Oh, yeah, we know it's the absence of pleasure must be pain.
It feels bubbly. It feels light. It feels...
Well, we appreciate your words and we appreciate your candor, but they don't accurately define it. That's why it's not a feeling. But if you're showing pleasure or contentment, you can describe that.
Yeah. Ion, are the ascended people already in the New Jerusalem? Are some of them already there?
Yes, very good. Are some of them already there? Yes.
If the New Jerusalem is already, can we access the New Jerusalem doing parallel wordling?
You may.
Wordling. Parallel
wordling.
Well, if you're from Luxembourg, what do you say, Bob?
Are the people who are in Eindem from your house or little men as well?
Mm. The ones from Eindem, of course, are, and the ones from little men want to be, so they can very easily be.
I don't know why it's not, why I'm not hearing anything.
I think it's the internet. Bring the computer to start and
hook it up. And hook it up. Run the dish out. Mm-hmm. You can clean your cookies off there and make it run faster.
Ion, if we stir the remag and the relight with a metal spoon, does that change the composition or the chemistry of it in any way?
If you mix it with middle school.
No, if we stir it with a metal spoon, does it change it in any way?
Mm-mm, it doesn't. It's stable. Unless you have a titanium spoon, then it's even better.
What are you talking about, Liza?
For example, with vitamin C, they say not to avoid stirring it with a metal spoon. So I asked if that was the case for Remag and Relight as well.
And it shouldn't be changing vitamin C either.
That's correct.
They come up with all these rules. It's ridiculous. Don't listen to anyone, Eliza.
Who comes up with that rule?
I don't know.
Where'd you hear that from?
Like that all the time.
There are no rules with fucking Remag, Relight, and RNA drops. It fucking overcomes everything. There is no problem. You can piss it out at somebody.
Not with Remag. The rule wasn't with Remag. It was with vitamin C. And Carolyn just said not to pay attention to any of that because I guess it's a myth. It's
well, where does these myths come from? Why are you listening to myths? Where do they come from?
It's people write about it in articles. Like if you're mixing.
Nobody writes articles about RNA drops.
No, it's about vitamin C, but. They're just looking for content. They'll make it up. Everything's made up now.
Yeah, everything's made up, and nothing applies to our products. Our products are immutable or unaffectable, unless Ion says otherwise.
So if you mix Remag and Relight in a drink, does it change, alter the effects on the body versus taking it straight?
I don't think so, except that I wouldn't boil Remag because magnesium burns up. It's used in explosives, so it has...
Right.
Okay, but let's ask Ion. You have an answer different from that, Ion?
It's especially nutritious when you mix it with hydrochloric acid. It gets right down in the nooks and crannies that way.
If we get into the pico ionic, the size, it gets in the nooks and crannies without the hydrochloric acid.
Agreed.
Brian, it does not need stomach hydrochloric acid like you've heard about. All minerals need hydrochloric acid in order to change the valence to be absorbed. Well, this stuff, it doesn't need any assistance in absorption because of its size.
You don't have to even think about it when you're taking it.
It's better if you don't.
Okay, so that's the comment I'm getting at. You made that comment. Take it straight versus putting it in water or juice. Could you lay out your reasons why you're saying take it straight versus mixing it in a beverage?
So that way you know you are getting the benefits of Remag and Relight if you take them straight.
And separately.
No, you can be.
But
Ion, I'm great. Telling people, some people that are on therapeutic amounts, you know, ones who've had to take IV magnesium, mm-hmm. they're taking the Remag. Mm-hmm. I tell them to put the 5 teaspoons in a liter of water and sip it through the day, because if you take 5 teaspoons straight, then you just saturate your cells and the rest of it just blows out of your body.
Fine, but we wouldn't say just taking 5 at one time. We'd say take 5 through the day.
So there you go.
Without mixing it with water, Carol.
We're not against mixing it with water. You just don't have to.
But Ion, see, you're not physical. Your taste buds and the shit burning down your throat, you don't experience like we do, Ion. Come on, we want to mix it with something. It makes it easier.
Okay. Then,
I think you said something earlier, Brian, about what's new coming up with Remag. Well, we are working on a sort of a natural fruit-flavored mineral it won't hit you like a ton of bricks. So that's coming along.
Just the Remag? Or what about the Relight?
No, both of them. I was amazed that the chemist was able to do the same for the Relight because
there was no fucking chemist. Ion did it. That's why he's giggling. Let the chemist think he's doing it. Nobody's doing anything in this world. It's all Ion's doing.
Let the Christians hear you say that.
Oh, there's no Christians anymore.
That's a jewel down.
Whether you mix it with water or take it straight, the benefits should be the same, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eliza, when you listen to the archives, you listen to how ridiculous your phone is. Note that. Is that you, Darius? Are you making all that noise? No, it doesn't seem to be Darius. Ask your question, Darius.
A while ago, I had a dream about 2 weapons. I wanted to know more about them somehow.
That's not a question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Thing I wanted to know about them was if I could somehow get them into a physical manifestation.
They are.
Could you tell me about a way to
get you to them?
Yes.
Okay. In your bathroom, do you know your bathroom?
Yes.
Do you know the mirror in your bathroom?
Yes.
Not the big mirror, the other mirror.
There's 2 other mirrors.
I know. That's right. The other mirror.
The one I'm standing in front of?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that don't work good. It's right there.
Darius, is that when you dream, when you sleep, you go to parallel worlds. So he's saying this is the way you get to that world that you saw in the dream.
Which is here.
Oh, okay.
You have other issues. The things you've lost, do you know where they are?
No.
They're the last place you'll look.
The last place I'll look.
Do you know why?
Because I don't have to look.
Because when you find them, you'll cease looking. And that's where we're trying to get you to. The dream state, if you're cognizant in your dream state to know there's a place that you have to get to or from or get to achieve, then you're already there. Otherwise, you wouldn't be having this conversation. So now all we're trying to do is reline up your space so that you are where you were. so that you then can be where you are now. It's like your mirror is past tense. See, your mirror is history now. Because the span that it takes for that reflection to come back and be gauged by the rods and cones in your eye makes it ancient, old-timey, old school. So is your dream world. Still real. It's just got to catch up to you.
And what is that spance? From the time the light reflects off the mirror to your rods and cones, what is that, a millisecond?
Very. No, there's no time, so it's history, ancient history.
Okay, well, there's no time, but you're saying it's past tense. So if it's the past, then what do you mean by the past?
It's a pluperfect now.
Oh, see, I don't want to go that pluperfect. I still don't get the pluperfect.
Well, you know, Carolyn can help you with it.
Ian, does this statement still hold true? During conception is when the soul enters the fetus.
Conception is at arousal.
So during that time?
Mm-hmm.
The soul enters the fetus?
Well, it's not a fetus then.
Yeah.
Eliza, are you talking about when they flipped it here months ago?
What?
You're talking about the zygote versus when a baby's born and it takes its first breath.
That only applies to same-sex marriages, though. They were making a play on all the civil unions.
She brought up a point because early 2000 Ion, the way I got it, or the way it was said was, we were talking about going back and forth from the guff and your essence goes to the guff, but when is that essence deposited into the physical? And you said once the zygote is sealed, the essence of the non-physical is deposited then.
That's correct. That's that arousal. Good.
So you're saying arousal is when the sperm penetrates the egg and then it's sealed? That's arousal?
Oh, yes, but see, you're confusing the whole process. Remember covalent bonding?
Yes.
You remember the 14th ring in the angel diagram?
Yes.
Remember the inside and outside? Well, that spread, the inside and outside spread is what seals it. So you're talking about two different conversations. That ceiling is when all this takes place, but it has to do within the ninth ring, not the 14th ring. But you, of all people, would know this, Ian.
So it happens in the ninth ring and not the 14th ring?
All the depositing, yes.
Does the seventh ring, the Asher, and those gates, the opening and closing of those gates, does that have anything to do with it getting to the...
It most certainly does. Very good. See, Bob, you said he didn't pay attention at all. You said he didn't get any of it. See, Bob, he did.
He's going to question himself right out of it. Whatever he got, he's going to question himself right out of it. Watch, just watch it. I'll give him 3 minutes.
That's new. That's an interesting point. But we're talking about a sphere, so it still has to fit. Okay.
As Carolyn pointed out, the butt. See, Brian, you're putting a butt into it. You got an interesting point. Live with that for a couple months.
What I'm getting at, if it goes through the seventh, it's the seventh ring. Now let's go through the seventh first. Okay, Ion, does it have to go through the gates first before it gets to the ninth ring?
Yes.
So it goes through the Asher, the seventh ring. Seventh ring is key
Seven thunders.
Now, this is inside of a cell, so it's a sphere, but doesn't it have to go through the membrane before it gets to the seventh ring?
Yes, and it does through the difference between the inside and outside of the 14th ring, but you already know that, too. But we're talking about the depositing.
So it penetrates the cell, but then it gets deposited through the seventh, through the gate, into the ninth ring.
Excellent.
Okay.
Ian, so you said during conception or arousal is when the soul enters the what exactly?
I don't think it's the soul. Is it the essence or the soul?
No, it's the non-physical essence.
The essence.
The essence, not the soul.
the soul is deposited at the once the baby is born, takes its first breath, is when the soul is
activated. First exhalation.
So the reason why I brought this up is because two things. First, it was said that the soul, we don't need it anymore, so we're getting rid of it. Am I right on that?
Well, wasn't quite like that, but go ahead.
Okay. And
once you're a god, your soul won't have a function. But we never said you're just getting rid of it. You don't have it; it just won't have any function.
So you said we'll still have it, but it won't have any function?
Correct.
And that has something to do with a cloud?
Potentially, yeah.
Okay, so we'll still have the soul, but it won't have a function.
Eliza, you know what the soul is? It's a register of your unrealized creations. If you're ascended, you don't have any unrealized creations. Therefore, there's nothing for the soul to record. That's what it is. That's how simple it is.
So now, since we were never born, does that change anything since we were never born?
No.
The whole never being born thing is just to get you in the notion of grasping this genealogy business of how you get back through the DNA, through, as he would say, the chromosome 14, which has those, had those, all those breaks, oh, the 12 different sections or breaks in it.
Where the soul never dies.
If the soul never dies, then how does it enter the baby on its first exhalation?
Because it just keeps track of the realized and unrealized creations, so it has to be introduced. So that's where it's introduced. But that's all fleeting. See, we're telling you how to program your 8-track tape player. It's all old hat. No one cares about 8-tracks anymore.
Yeah, you're getting this towards the non-human. That's all human talk, right, Ion?
Yeah, you're getting us up to where we're going to teach you how to program the time on your VCR.
Yeah, no more talk about being human or how the human got started.
Well, you notice the tables are certainly getting closer together.
The tables are getting closer together. Is that
table, you know, that's right. When you come forward, you come table ready.
Are you talking about the plates, the continental plates, Ion?
No, we're talking about in the restaurants with the little men are becoming less and less and less significant. And how you can tell that is in the restaurants, the tables are getting more crowded. The airplanes, the seats are getting closer together, they're getting more crowded. There's less and less and less patience for little men anymore.
You mean they're getting more creative? We're diminishing their space they occupy.
That's correct. We certainly are.
Yeah, most malls are big empty spaces with a few little places for the little guy to sit.
That's right.
That's getting ready for the giants, right? The giants occupy the spaces.
Giants in the land, that's right.
Yeah, Kate.
What's the milk and honey that's on the other side of the River Jordan? This land of milk and honey.
Bread of life, living water.
Ah, the bread. So that's the milk and honey. Bread of life and living water.
More money for me.
Yeah, more money for Bob.
Bob, just throw it away. Just throw it out the fucking waves.
Bob, do you have a purse? Do you have a wallet, Bob?
Nope, I don't have one.
Where do you keep your money, Bob?
I just throw it in the fire. I'm into making a big fire.
He thrown it into a fire and then it was Bob was concerned.
Isn't money obsolete? Because it's like this environment, and we're in the own environment.
Well, you'll have to ask Angela Merkel. We wouldn't be able to say that.
Angela Merkel, do you even know who that is?
It's our prime minister. She's called the mom or the mutti. The mutti. It's our mother.
The house of Moody.
Tell us what your Moody says about your money.
I'm not sure, but I think it's obsolete. So there are new bills. They really look extremely fake, like Monopoly money. When I have this money, it doesn't feel real.
Welcome to your world.
It feels like, yeah, it feels like this toy money in Monopoly. That's the feeling I have.
That's what it is. There's no mystery there, Roxy. On to another topic, please.
Is the bread of life the honey and the living water the milk?
No.
The bread of life is the milk and the living water is the honey?
No.
Did you say not too long ago that when I asked what the milk and honey was, you said it was bread of life and living water?
That's right.
So can they be either one? Bread of life, living water can be milk or honey, either one, or both.
No, no.
Okay, well, I explain. I don't get what you're saying there.
Bread of life, living water, and you'd add a sweetness.
Oh, the milk and honey is just what you add to it?
Yeah.
So, sweetener. Okay.
Is that what our formula says, Carol? Milk and honey are added to our stuff?
Yeah, news to me.
Is that what we were putting in it?
That's why we have to listen to these shows.
I think there's more to this
than what we're doing.
Honey never, it's always good. I mean, I read that they found some honey in Egypt, and you can still consume that honey. It won't get spoiled.
Right. Yeah, it won't get spoiled.
Rotten.
So you're saying it's a preservative, a natural sweet preservative?
What is in honey that makes it so eternal or so, I don't know if it's eternal, but that helps to its conservation?
You can ask in a different way.
For example, what the queen bee eats makes her much, much bigger. What do the bees know that we don't know?
Nothing.
But they have this superfood.
Well, we provided for them. We made all nature. We created all of nature, so we dished that out to them.
I think living water and bread of life is the equivalent of our honey because of that it never spoils, and it's also like a superfood for the queen bee.
Ayan, which is better, agave or honey?
Honey.
Agave.
Honey.
Honey
is better than agave.
What's agave?
Agave is another sweetener, a natural sweetener. It tastes good. Like with honey, if you add it to your tea or anything, it changes the taste just a little bit. You can taste it's honey. But with agave, it doesn't really change the taste of it that much. And
where does agave come from?
Agave is like a huge aloe vera plant. Yeah, it's a plant, and it's like a syrup.
Well, sugar comes from a plant. Why don't you
just
use sugar?
Like a syrup that comes from that. In Mexico, it's called aguamiel.
Azúcar.
One of the quotes from the list of quotes that you gave us last week, Ezekiel 1:21, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. I was wondering if the new technology that you guys were talking about last week with the wheels, does that carry the spirit of the living creature?
It will.
Ezekiel what?
Ezekiel 1:21.
That has the secret wheel, did you say?
No, it says, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. It's talking about the wheels and the living creature. And the quote.
Well, actually, like the evolution of technology is just a way of coming back to original state. All technologies are expanding on until we get to the ascended space. Are we going to still need technology when we're ascended, or is just falling man?
It's falling.
So we'll be creating with our mind or with
Hey, Ian, what shape was that metal in that you were bouncing? It sounded to me very similar to like a ball bearing, a metal ball bearing you bounced off concrete floor. It sounded similar. It wasn't the same, but it sounded similar. So
it was an oblong type, steel bounce type back.
It's an oblong shaped metal
pipe.
Mm-hmm. Ion, you said last week that JW was measuring tanzanite. Is that the color of the terrible crystal?
You have to ask.
Color.
Hey, Sarah, what color is tanzanite?
Well, it depends on what angle you look at it, because it can change, but bluish maroon, but mostly blue.
So it's not like cobalt blue?
Maybe not like cobalt blue, but a lighter blue.
How do you spell it?
T-A-N-Z-A-N-I-T-E, I think. Is that one of the 12 stones? Like you were reading a selection, or Carolyn was reading a selection Bible quote. I think it was from Exodus.
I think they're the stones in the temple, the foundation stones.
The foundation stones, but also in the breastplate. It was describing the breastplate, the 12 stones.
Gems.
Yeah, they're in Revelations. 12 precious stones. It lists them all.
And the breastplate of something?
Yeah, so it can't be probably tanzanite. Is tanzanite a mineral that you're using in some of the technologies that are being developed, Ion?
No.
The hallway that you showed to Carolyn and Bob, does it look like the hallway in Constantine?
Similar,
yeah. It's a portal.
Which hallway are you talking about, Sarah? The one that was down in the basement?
The one that's in his house in that
house. Yeah, and the down in the basement, and he opens the corridor.
Yeah.
That would be the second image we saw, or the first image, Ion?
The second one, the one you were looking down the long infinite.
Which episode is that?
Ooh, I can't remember now. It's the first time that Zed goes to his house.
And what is it? A portal? What are we calling it?
A corridor.
A corridor.
Good.
What?
Good corridor.
Corridor.
I mean, what are the factors that we're not considering that you made yourself visible?
Last week.
Is there any butterfly effect from that for the environment?
For the world.
Butterfly effect.
That's the chaos butterfly. One little thing can change everything. Let Ian answer.
All right, go ahead.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Was part of it reflected in Mexico, Ion?
Dun, dun, dun.
They shut down. They outlawed demonstrations. People can't make their big performances, but if they dance, that might be acceptable. Did you affect that, among other things, that change?
Yeah.
Did you see where in China they're outlawing puns?
Now, you know what that is, Brian? Here's how McClellan explained that. Since they're an oral tribal society, puns were natural. They're trying to become Western and industrial and left hemisphere and visually biased. Sort of like the early culture doesn't like puns. So they're really acting out.
Which culture doesn't like puns?
Left hemisphere cultures don't like puns. Like your grandparents don't like puns. And that's the way it was here. Now we're going non-Western in many ways.
Yeah.
And China, under the tactile identity crisis of the new media world, is putting on the Western visual bias of the 19th century. And that would be totally consistent with what McClellan predicted, that an industrial society doesn't like puns. So China's trying to become industrial, the old Western organization, so they don't like puns. It's uncanny how it sometimes fits.
Well, what is it about puns that they want to outlaw?
They're multi-leveled, and when you get industrial, you want things on one level, so you know how to stick the pipe into the bolt and the bolt into the knee thing.
Right.
You make kinetic, muscular, industrial connections.
Yeah, see, that's what they're saying. They're saying the communication, the clarity of communication will fall apart using puns.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And they call that, Aristotle had four causes. And efficient causality is making sure you know how this joins that. You connect things. McLuhan describes visual spaces connected and continuous. That's a novelty for the Chinese. They've never had that since. Now they're trying to be that. They probably won't be able to do it like we did it. But they are making on the surface virtual rules like you just said. And so it's an absurd statement on the surface if you don't know McLuhan stuff. But McLuhan gives you context for understanding absurd declarations in the New World.
Well, John Stewart had fun with it.
Now, John Stewart will make jokes and confuse it. They should have
right.
me on there explaining it and then have your joke, because the explanation is useful as much as the humor is.
I was thinking, first, non-physical became audible. We could hear and talk with non-physical, and now you are becoming visual. What is
right.
next?
Coitus is next.
And other factors we're not considering about the relevance of coitus or orgasms in I&M?
We'd say yes.
What'd you say? Yes, there are factors we're not considering. Okay.
Okay, I have a question, though.
No,
the
next question is, what are the factors?
Well, hold on. What are the factors that we know now? Let's first establish what factors we do know before we try to get to factors that we don't know. Okay, so I'll say one of the factors is it connects you to you. Another factor is it's, as Eliza said, that orgasm, that feeling place gets you as close to a God-feeling place that you can get in your current state. Do you agree?
That's good.
So there's two factors. Are there other factors that we know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we say Sabrina. Sabrina was told that, what will people do in the future? They'll have more sex. So there's the third factor. Fourth one is, was the actress in State of Affairs, the character, acting out an ionic impulse when she took it up the poop chute right at the beginning
mm-hmm.
of the show?
Mm-hmm.
OJ, mm-hmm. do you have any questions for Kubrick that you forgot to ask?
No.
No.
He wouldn't share it publicly anyways.
Well, you could try it again. That was then. You must realize every day is different with Ion. You could ask again. Ion has told us to ask questions again. See, just say good.
Kubrick, my point is, if Kubrick is there, he wouldn't answer questions for people
to know. How do you know? That you're assuming. You don't know. Things may have changed.
No, I know him. I know his work well.
Well, he's not his work.
What's your fascination with Kubrick?
O.J., let me tell him. O.J. looked at Leon's most influential people in history, and he said, this is a good video, because I think Ginny was interviewing Leon, and he says, but we must have Kubrick replace Bob in the Pantheon. So that's the latest.
Let me explain, Bob.
Okay.
I was actually right in the middle of writing an angry email about this.
Okay, let me tell them what I wrote back when you said that. Let me tell them what I said to you and why you're being angry.
Too many words. Just too many words.
Yeah. Okay. With that.
Yes. Syllables. We need to get every word if you're going to.
Yeah. So he shows. Oh. Hey, I'm going to have to mute Ion. Okay, you're forewarned, Ion. So OJ sends a video of Kubrick. I go, what a turkey. Or maybe I didn't. This may be another video. Your aesthetics are crude, OJ. And then. He says Bob should be replaced by Kubrick. I say, I don't think so. Stanley is dead, and I'm not, and I'm 6 years older than him. Then you posted his speech to the American Editors Directors thing, and I said, it's the sentiments of a sick man who missed the biggest story of his time, Dobbstown. Now, you can read your angry email.
Well, it's funny you're saying all this, because I was writing... God damn it, Bob, are you aware that 2001 A Space Odyssey is all about Xenochrony and the android meme? Do I need to spell it out for you?
It is not about that at all.
It is.
I don't think
it is.
Think
you're just jealous. He got it before you.
No way. No, he's not. Anyway, carry on. Go ahead. You know, we don't have to figure it out now. Is that all you're saying?
That's basically it.
Okay, define the android meme.
Well, you define it a lot in different ways, but But it's HAL. It's H-A-L.
No, HAL is just the computer phase of the Android meme. The computer part. The talking computer. That would be the Android meme 1970. I'm dealing with the Android meme 2000. The Android meme would not look like something speaking to you. That's the early crude version. The Android meme becomes very, very refined and what's called holopathic, tinier and tinier, so you don't even know it's addressing you. It moves beyond the verbal into the haptic proprioceptive way of communicating with you.
I see what you mean, but he was still very early on looking at this.
Oh, he wasn't bad. He wasn't bad. Well, I find it very significant that he gave McLuhan a private showing of the film, and McLuhan fell asleep. And when he wrote about it a month later in his newsletter, he said, this movie is completely 19th century. Now, you got to understand what McLuhan means by 19th century. And he explained it a couple of weeks ago right here on the show when I played a recording. He was talking about the 19th century view of NASA. He says NASA is 200 years behind the present, 200 years behind James Joyce. Now, those are outstanding statements. You have to study McLuhan to figure out what he meant by that. But he was totally disgusted with Kubrick's 2001.
No, Kubrick was in on that. They decided to say that.
No, no, I'm talking about the movie. The fucking movie. He made the movie, and McLuhan was not impressed with the movie. He thought it was backwards.
No, I'm aware of that story, and I emailed Eric McLuhan, and he said his dad liked it.
Eric doesn't know anything about his father's work.
That's private.
That kind of stuff. Eric says all kinds of silly stuff. He even says silly stuff about me. So don't go by Eric.
Yeah, I'm sure, but besides that, Kubrick is very savvy about this stuff. He manufactured rumors about himself, and I'm sure they decided to say that to keep people off the track, because McLuhan is the key to that film.
Yeah, but the thing is that my stuff is what is about, and he is nowhere near what I mean by the Android meme. And I evoked Ion as an antidote to the Android meme. So if you want to know what the Android meme is, you look at Ion, and you figure what Ion is, and then you know what the Android meme is not. And then you can figure out what Android meme is. It's in relation to Ion. Ion completed the Android meme.
I don't doubt that. I just don't like you bad-mouthing Cooper.
Well, I watched Satyricon, Fellini's Satyricon the other day, because Don Thiel was writing about it. And I thought about how puny that was. I loved it 40 years ago, but I thought about, this is dinky. And movies are so much better than anybody's movies, and Kubrick's too. And I was scanning through my memories of Kubrick movies. Maybe I'll go look at them again. But they don't stick with me. They're cumbersome. Maybe Dr. Strangelove was pretty good. But he died. He lost his creativity. That's what happened to him. And that picture you have of him with the directors, he looks horrible, and that's the year he died.
He didn't. That movie is still affecting us now. It's imprinted itself. It's he chose 2001 for
us. If they hear, if more of the world hears about us, they'll forget about all those movies. Our theater, what we do here every Saturday night, is way beyond and is the ultimate form of entertainment you could ever have. Right here. Even when Ian's sleeping on the couch, it's better than anything else.
I never said I doubted that, but...
Well, that's what it means. If you agree with what I'm saying, none of these movies approach what we're communicating and what we're entertaining with.
Bob, can you define the Android meme again? I missed it the first time. Did you define
the Android meme are the extensions of the machines by the machines. Whereas the first phase, all technologies are extensions of our senses, inner and outer faculties. And then the final extension is the extension of the planet, which is a satellite or a rocket ship or a space station that you live inside of. It's like an extension of the terrestrial environment. It's artificial, and you're living off the terrestrial environment in a man-made, human-made terrestrial environment, and that's a satellite. That's the final extension. Then these things that were extended, all the machines start talking to each other in the digital phase, and that's the Android meme, where the machines talk and extend within each other, and they eventually make themselves holopathic, which is very tiny and all-encompassing, a hologram and homeopathic levels, and they go inside us, and they become totally invisible, and the little kids think they're gods at the age of 4 with their Web 2.0 technologies.
Okay, so let's go back. Android meme is machines
extending machines, not the extensions of our senses. The first phase,
okay.
Machines are extensions of our phases.
Give me some examples of machines extending machines.
You begin with mainframe computers in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
And then that gradually gets shrunk and miniaturized and all that.
I got it. Bob, we got this. It's answering machines that respond back.
Yes, there's a dialogue between
replies,
the machines.
Automatic replies on an email.
Yeah, there's an automatic dialogue within the machining. So whatever this digital process that went from those ridiculous computers in the 60s with the reels, you remember you'd see them in bank buildings?
Yeah.
And now I can look at my phone here, and I've got everything in it. There's a lot of miniaturization that went on there, you know, condensation. That process was the holeopathic growth of the Android meme. The Android meme was to make itself more and more invisible and make you feel more and more powerful. That's the seduction of the Android meme.
I want to be clear. So machines extending machines is just the machines getting smaller?
No, it's not smaller. Not smaller, it's becoming autonomous. The machines,
yes, becoming
autonomous.
They take on a life of their own.
Bigness or smallness is relative.
Yeah.
Okay, give me an example of a machine being autonomous.
Your VCR recording movies in the 80s.
No, okay. A DVR. A DVR. That
yeah.
automatically knows what you watch. Voice command on your phone that learns how you speak and recognizes your voice above all others.
But I had to tell the DVR to record the stuff. It just didn't do it on its own.
But see, we're not saying you're eliminated from it. Otherwise, you don't need the machine. But let's say a pacemaker. You don't have to tell a pacemaker to work.
Yeah, Brian, Croker writes this very well, he and Baudrillard, how the human chemical body is just basically allowed to stay here to do the rudimentary stuff of programming the VDR or VCR or something.
VDR.
The part that you see us doing, very rudimentary, and we're visitors and allowed to have a little role like a janitor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a DVR would be an example. What would be the example, like, say, with smartphones and laptops?
The talking among the machines. Ian hit it right. The talking, the interacting, the almost human-like resonance between the digital parts of any environment that's been set up.
Yeah, and you get automatic updates. It'll remind you to update your phone.
And it'll do it for you. You can schedule it to do it for you.
Yeah,
and
that's place an order.
And it's remembering to do that way more than any human can do.
Mm.
And it can place an order, call a put, short a stock, execute an order, take a position, make the money, stack the money, and do it all with one sentence.
And many of the people who invented this technology, like Bill Joy, have freaked out and said, we're fucked, the machines have taken over, because they kind of see what Ian's talking about because they helped build it, but they panic because they don't have any alternative. They don't have us. But a lot of them have panicked.
Mm-hmm. It all started with the picture. They'd put the candle behind the picture, and they would go to those places with the lighted pixograph. And then they went on, and then they got a radio, and they watched the radio. Until the radio got a screen, a little bitty 6-inch square screen. Then you went from TV all the way up to, good Lord, 50 feet plasmatrons, the Megatron TVs. But now you're coming right back, and you just now got back to a 6-inch screen where you started, only you carried around in your pocket.
Okay, so what's that an example of?
The obsolescence of your desire. You didn't want a 5,000 feet TV. You wanted a 6-inch TV, but you had to go to the
I want the big screen TV, but I also made the smaller TV because I want it mobile. I want to take it with me everywhere I go. I can't take a 60-inch TV with me in my truck or everywhere I go. So now I got it down to a smartphone I hold in my hand. It can be my TV.
When you say the word smartphone, do you mean that it's smarter than you?
It depends on how you define smart.
Well, but that's the answer to your question about media ecology. when you make something that's smarter than you. You make a thing that does better than you can do. That's what we call more efficient than you can do. That's
okay.
More better at something that you can do. That's the best definition of what you're trying to describe as the extension of the Android me.
Okay, but see, some of it is not necessarily the machine talking to machine. It's the machine doing work that I don't want to do.
Like automatically updating the weather on your phone, which you don't even
tell
it to do. It just does it. Like
yeah.
Automatically sorting your emails and receiving them, scanning them down and sorting
uh-huh.
them for you.
Yeah, let me just say this, Ian.
See if it's junk or not and put it in a separate place where you don't have to look at it. That's
yeah, hey, Brian and Ian, I've been defining for years that the Android meme looks at the humans and says, how can we be like the humans and they won't even notice? How can we serve them? So they make some misses and hit some misses and they go, oh, yeah, they probably want to know where all their emails are. So they gather them, but most emails
yeah.
don't. Most humans don't care. So you know how they did it? They looked for the human who was the most advanced human in understanding the Android meme, and they found me. It's okay, there is Bob. He's the highest perception of human understanding of us. Now we must go below Bob. We must dumb it down. And they do everything to dumb everything down, like they dumb down Fringe in relation to me. I'm the standard, and they make everything less than me. That's how they work it. And they still try to make it so that one day a version of Brian shows up and meets you. It's your clone or whatever they call it, and it's the Android meme has made a total replica of you, and then that you offers to serve you.
Okay, now stop right there. This total replica of me, would that be the same as another me? What would be different about that total replica of me versus another me?
Well, we wouldn't be able to answer that question until Ion shows up to give us a way of looking at that second you that shows up, and you can determine whether that's the you between you and you or not. Because Ion brings in the mystery landscape of other yous that aren't made by digital technology.
Or we could just wait on the smart you to show up and tell you.
So, Brian, in general, the Android meme the last 50 years has been making itself more and more human-like, more serviceable to the human, but the ultimate service for you would be the Android meme making a version of you to serve you. See, so that would be really custom-tailored to have a machine, a body, a human that looks just like
okay.
you. It's working towards that, of imitating humanity in general, and then one-on-one.
Okay, so I want to go back to a comment Ion made earlier. It was when we were talking about the C60, and then we went into C122 with the RNA drops. And the statement that he made, what was the statement? I just lost my train of thought.
Oh, we're talking about the Android meme looking like you. That might give you a hint.
No, Bucky his
Bob.
Comment about the smart me showing up to tell me that it's a replica or not.
Hey, Brian, the smart me will show up and convince Carolyn that I'm the fucking robotoid and that's the real Bob. That's how smart that one's going to be.
Right. But let's look at the complete metformers, so the RNA drops and then the living water and the bread of life once we get the 144,000 activated, because Ion talked about once you get above the first, was it the first dorsal ion that in the brain and above the first dorsal, the mitochondria does not cut off the DNA, so your brain would become very, very dense. Mm-hmm. And then, I remember what he said. You talked about changing the synaptic or the neurotransmitters, right, Ion?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So with taking the complete formulas and changing these neurotransmitters and then all the things that the 144,000 is going to do, I mean, this whole smartphone or smart clone or smart replica ain't going to come
Brian.
Close to.
The smart
yeah,
Brian.
It might be smart for now, but wait till perfection comes in. Then it'll be just like it'll be fucking ridiculous.
Dude.
See, there we go.
Oh, he said due to what? What did you say, Brian, that he said due to?
That a fully ascended man back to God, a smart replica will be nothing. It'll just be a fucking trifle, sniveling little fucking nothing.
Yeah, compared to a fully ascended human being.
Yeah.
Yeah, the android meme is the android meme's futile. That's why I say the third phase. We're in the third phase now. You know, the android meme collapsed financially in 2008. That part of its communication system, and it can't fix it. And Ayan shows up a few months later to offer phase three, which is not the extension of the physical senses or the extension of the machinic extensions. And use the word machinic, not machines. Machines are too mechanical. It's machinic. Deleuze and Guattari, the philosophers who talk about the organic electronic technology as machinic. The second phase of the extensions of the machinic are obsolete because they're merely physical by the extension of the non-physical, like the iCell. And that's what's happened since 2009.